I'm Larry Altshuler. I'm an MD physician, and I come from Tulsa, Oklahoma, but I love Texas. I love Austin, and I'm a my specialty is internal medicine. I do work at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, but I basically do internal medicine and hospitalist work. I happen to have expertise in conventional medicine as well as alternative medicine. I'm an acupuncturist and an herbalist, so I look at both sides. So this is more kind of an interactive session. And obviously, you're all here to find out information about health and health care, which is absolutely great. And everyone can hear me, right? Okay, good. That's absolutely great. I'm a really big believer in people taking an active role in their health and health care, something we call empowered care. And it looks like the medical community is going to that. In fact, even the Affordable Care Act has tried to push being empowered. And I think it's really important just basically because people who are empowered and take an active role in their health care, guess what? They have better outcomes. They have better quality of life. It's that simple. So I'm glad that you all came in here. I feel kind of like I know what it feels like to be a minority because there's lots of women here and few men. But the benefit of that is that the men's room, there's nobody there. So I don't have to fight, you know, like lots of women do. So anyway, so hopefully this is kind of an interactive exchange. This is a time for you guys to learn whatever you can about healthcare, whatever you want to ask. I know you have some burning issues that you want to talk about. If you don't have them, I have lots of them that we can talk about. So first of all, because you're here to get health information, and I want you all to speak up and tell me whatever you think, but I want to get kind of an idea of where you're coming from, where you get your medical information from. So how many people here get medical information from Dr. Oz? Ah, yeah, okay. Do you get benefit from that medical information? Pretty much. How about from the doctors? How many people get information? Okay. Well, that's pretty good. How many people get medical information from the internet? Okay. That doesn't surprise me. They say that 57% of all surfing the internet is for medical information, which is really important. And all those are okay sources. You know, the only problem that I see with them is that they're pretty well focused on certain things. They want to get certain ideas out, so they don't give a real comprehensive idea of what's going on. They may just focus on one thing, but not tell you what it compares to down the line. So a lot of it can be incomplete. Even the internet. How many people go to WebMD? Okay. Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic. They all have really good websites. The problem I have with those websites, they give great information, but they'll give you lists. They'll tell you, okay, here's the treatments for your medical condition, and they list them. But they don't tell you which one works the best for you. They don't tell you which is really that effective or not effective. They don't tell you the cost. So you're sitting there going, okay, well, these all sound good, but what's the best thing for me? What meets my needs and my desires? So that's kind of the limit of those shows in the internet. So what you want to do really is get that information from someone who has some knowledge in medicine, and that's who? Your doctor, right? So my next question is, how many of you would say that you have a really good doctor? Well, that's really good. Now, I'm going to define, in my estimation, what a good doctor is someone who listens to you, who gives you time to listen to you, who allows for other options, who can communicate with you, who's really there for you and knows your desires and your needs. Now, with that definition, how many people have a really good doctor? Good. Keep that doctor. Don't let him get away. Because in the near future, there's going to be 30 million more people looking for those doctors. So grab onto them. The problem with some doctors, and you know, it's great that you have good doctors, but there's a few things that I would like to point out before we get started here, and that is, you know, to me, the number one thing that makes a good doctor is listening to you. Not just telling you what to do, but listening to what you need in your life. That's number one. Number two is asking them questions. And because you guys are here and you're empowered, I'm sure you ask your doctors lots of questions, right? And don't be afraid to do that. You know, there's an article about what's called white coat silence. Have you ever heard of white coat silence? That's kind of a new thing out, but a study just came out about 2 weeks ago that showed that a lot of people go to their doctor, and the doctor will explain things to them, and they won't ask them any questions because they don't want to either feel foolish or they don't understand what the doctor's saying, but they feel bad about asking them questions. What happens is the doctor thinks, because you're not saying anything, that you understand everything he's saying, when maybe he doesn't understand and you don't understand. So, you know, the point is you need to speak out, okay? Don't let that white coat silence get to you. Speak out, ask the questions. And finally, you want someone, you know, not all doctors are going to be know everything, obviously. You know, you're going to have a conventional doctor, he may not know about alternative medicine, or an alternative medicine practitioner doesn't know about conventional medicine. But if they're open to listening, and they're open to other options, that's what you want, because then you can take all your research from Dr. Oz and the doctors and the internet and talk to them about it and expect him or her to look it up and to evaluate it and help you make a decision. So with that in mind, there's lots of things that go on in our healthcare system that puts up a lot of barriers. And there's a lot of things that you may not know. So this session is to try to break through those barriers and find out some stuff. So I'm going to first, now there was a question that was asked in our booth downstairs that I will get into in a minute. But right now, does anyone have a burning issue that they would like to bring up? Yes, ma'am.
I want to lose weight.
Okay. Right, and that's the problem with the internet. There's a lot of people trying to sell you down the river. And, you know, and of course, weight loss is huge. I mean, it's like a $54 billion industry. And, you know, and in fact, all these diets come up, and you look at the studies with all the diets, and basically they all come to the same conclusion. They're basically all the same. It's just whatever diet you that is good for you, that's comfortable with you. So that's one thing with the diet. Do you exercise? Okay.
This last year, and that's when I finally realized I'm not going to get anywhere until I can control it.
Now, you understand that, though, and she's saying, can you all hear her? No? She's talking about weight loss. And the problem is she has chronic pain, and so she can't really exercise, although, in fact, if you can get through the pain and exercise, it will help the pain. She's frustrated by the internet because, you know, everyone's trying to sell her something. So she really doesn't know where to go. Now, let me ask you about this. Is your chronic pain fibromyalgia?
No, it's arthritis.
It's arthritis. It is polyarthritis? I mean, all over your joints or certain joints? Okay. Specific joints? Okay. There are certain things that could be very beneficial because, obviously, when you're hurting, it affects your weight. I mean, it really does. And by the way, did you know, just on a little aside, a study just came out about probiotics that can help control weight. Did you know that some of the bacteria in our guts, they're finding now may lead being overweight? So actually just taking a good probiotic may help that to begin with. So I just wanted to put that aside. That's one of the secrets you don't hear about. So But there are certain things you can do. Now, have you taken anti-inflammatory drugs? Something like Naprosyn, Feldene, Motrin, any of them. Okay, now, have you ever tried acupuncture? Okay, acupuncture is really good for arthritis. It can help you a lot. Have you ever heard of the cold laser? Low-level energy laser. How many people here have heard of the cold laser? Okay, good. You're up on it. But most people haven't. This is one of the biggest secrets in medicine. And I'm going to tell you, this is one of the greatest things on earth. I was fortunate to be the first doctor in the country to do research on these cold lasers. I started in 1984. I researched three lasers. And in fact, at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, we now have three lasers for our patients, and they're being used all the time. This is a cold laser. It's not a hot laser. Okay, the hot lasers burn and cut. They have wavelengths above 1,000 nm, which is nanometers. The cold lasers, most of them are in the 600 wavelength, but there's one that we use that's an 830 nanometer wavelength, which is the one that penetrates the deepest. Cold lasers do not produce heat. Okay, you won't feel anything. You may feel a little tingling, but they're very, very safe. They are amazing. They increase blood flow, they increase lymphatic flow, but they actually break down arthritis and they actually can heal tissue. They can actually regenerate cartilage. They can actually fix problem joints and backs also. And I'll give you an example. When I came to work for cancer treatment centers, I moved from Oklahoma City to Tulsa and I did a lot of lifting. And I had a huge ruptured disc in my lower back. And I went to our pain doctor who gave me all this pain medication. He said, oh, you're going to have an epidural steroid injection. You're going to have surgery. And I went, no way. And so what I did, I happened to have my laser. So I just lasered my back. In 3 weeks, I was pain-free. In 3 months, I was playing competitive tennis. I mean, it's that good. It actually will heal tissue. Yes, ma'am. Okay. You know, that's a very good question. And in actuality, there is a CPT code for it. Some insurance companies will pay for it. Sometimes Medicare will pay for it. A lot of times they won't. But I'll tell you, it's very inexpensive. When I did it in my clinic, I charged $45 a treatment. It takes about 6 to 8 treatments. So you're paying about $400 to $500.
Okay, so is it something that
protects
like a checkbox or
a like a big account? Yes, an HSA or FSA. We'll cover that. And it'll cover acupuncture also. Yes, ma'am.
What about EBV?
About what?
Cold laser with the EBV virus, the
Epstein-Barr virus? You know, there really hasn't been a lot of research on using a laser for EBV. Now, for shingles, it's amazing for shingles. One or two treatments, it gets rid of the shingles. So it's great for that. But I haven't seen that much. I've seen it for musculoskeletal injuries. For mucositis, for lymphedema, people who have breast cancer, for neuropathy, for nerve injuries, for sciatica, neck and back, degenerative discs. It's amazing, but it's very good for joints. And let me give you a website that you can go to. It's called ml830.com. And that's a website. The laser that we use is called a microlite, and ML means microlite. It's down in, the guy who owns it is in Houston. There's several people probably here in Austin that actually have one. You can go to the website and find someone who has one. And like I say, it's very inexpensive, and it's very quick. So, but it can actually regrow cartilage. I've done studies that we were able to prevent people from having to get knee replacements and back, you know, and fusions and things like that. And I'm going to tell you this, and it kind of reflects our healthcare system. When I was in Oklahoma City, and my clinic was actually based on the laser. That's what started my clinic. Because I had, they wanted me, there was a company in Salt Lake City that wanted me to do research on their little laser. This was an 84, a little pinpoint laser. And so I said, oh, that's fine. And the study was on rheumatoid arthritis. And so they said, we want 30 patients. Well, I knew lots of doctors in Oklahoma City because I went to school at OU, medical school. And so I called them all to see if I could get some patients. None of them would give me any patients. They thought I was stealing all their patients. So I had a friend who was a reporter for one of the news stations, the TV stations. And I called him and said, you know, this is a free study. I just need people to see if this is going to work. So he did a little three-minute blip on the TV. I got 1,200 people call me. I mean, that's how desperate people were, just like you are, to find something that works. Well, it turned out that the laser worked great. I got my 30 patients and then did 800 more, and it worked marvelously. And since then, they've really come along. But what was really amazing was that after I was doing this for about 5 or 6 years, there were two orthopedic groups in Oklahoma City that saw that I was taking all their patients away because I was treating all these arthritis patients, and they couldn't do surgery because they were getting better with the laser. So they bought a laser. They thought that would be very smart. They used it for 3 months, and then they quit using it. And I knew one of the orthopedic guys, and I ran into him and said, why'd you quit using that? And he said, well, it didn't make us any money. We weren't making any money on it. I can make $10,000 on a surgery, and I'd make maybe $50 on the laser. Unfortunately, that's our healthcare system. So the surgeons don't want to use it. I would heal people, you know, neurosurgeons who've done fusions, and I would take these people who had 2 or 3 fusions, and we would help them. They'd go back and tell their neurosurgeon. And these neurosurgeons would brag about how we treated them and got them better, but they would never refer patients. Unfortunately, that's what we have in our healthcare system, and that's why you have to be empowered and know about these. So if one thing, you know, the laser is a secret that very few people know about, but there are people here that do that. Yes, ma'am. Carries the laser?
Yeah, the little.
Yeah.
Someone fell at our house. She immediately, yeah, I mean, and the way they fell, they really should have had a nice Tuesday. And it was amazing within 30 seconds to see that bruise start to form. But when she was done, it was gone. So I say, is there something, you know, like we keep Band-Aids in our house. So is there a model now that would be available?
After, you can buy lasers.
To where we could buy.
Absolutely. This A30. We've had probably 20 patients at the cancer center buy them. All my father has one. My step parents have them. They use them every day. It's amazing. And you're correct, because I had a guy. I played tennis, and a guy fell and had a huge hematoma, which is blood collection. And I had a laser on me, and so I used it. And I mean, within 10 minutes, it was gone. It was amazing. Yes, ma'am. Okay, a cost of laser, I think they're selling this one for between $2,500 and $3,000. They tell me that you can pay it out for a year. If you don't like it in 90 days, you can return it. They return your money, so it's good. Now, I will tell you, I'm not here to sell this particular laser. It's the one we use because it's the one that studies have shown to go the deepest. It goes about 5 centimeters down and 3 centimeters out. If you find a laser that's a wavelength in the 800s, it'll penetrate deeply. Most lasers are 600 wavelengths, and they only go 1 centimeter. They still have physiologic benefit, but I like this one because it penetrates better. And a lot of lasers, they have bells and whistles on them. They don't do anything more than just a basic, simple laser. And they have them for $10,000 or $12,000. You don't need that, okay? Yes, ma'am. You would think that. You would think, because it increases blood flow, and it has a lot of characteristics that you would think would make cancer cells grow. But in fact, what we have found in our studies is that the laser does not affect normal cells, only injured cells. And cancer cells, they're abnormal, but they're not injured cells. They're normal cells that are growing abnormally. Okay? I have actually treated probably 25 patients now directly who had metastatic disease to their spine, and treated the spine pain, gotten rid of the spine pain in most of them. It doesn't work in 100% of people, but it has done nothing to the cancer. These lasers, by the way, have been used on horses and dogs and cats for about 35 years now. And we have some, and they will use them on dogs that have cancer. They've had good results. When I treat someone that has cancer, I just tell them we don't know if it affects the cancer or not. But in my experience, I haven't seen it at all. And that's why I think it does, because it really only works on injured tissue. Yes, ma'am. You can go off topic. Exercise?
Yes. And just start a routine. Should you do it before you eat in the morning?
I don't think it matters. What she's asking is eating versus exercise. Do you exercise before you eat or you eat before exercise? A lot of people will tell you to eat before exercise just so you can have some protein to when you exercise, you'll have some protein in you, because some people exercise without eating, and then they're more tired afterwards. But if they have the carbohydrates and the electrolytes, they do better. So in general, most experts are going to say, you know, eat before you exercise. And I do that. When I play tennis twice a week, and I always eat before I go. I don't have any problem. But it really fits you. There's really not been any studies that show, no, you have to do the opposite. Whatever fits for you will do. There's really no studies that show that. For exercise?
Yeah.
Only for sleep. You don't want to exercise less than 2 hours before you sleep, because you're going to be really geared up. But evening exercise, and you know, exercise is really interesting, because you can exercise for 10 minutes at a time, and it does you just as much good. If you did 10 minutes three times a day, it's the same as exercising 30 minutes at one time. So you can do it in bits and pieces. Even doing housework is exercise. So, and by the way, have you heard of green exercise? They have shown that if you walk with a lot of trees and stuff, that actually it does more good for your body because of the trees, and they're taking the carbon dioxide and giving off oxygen. So it's nice to be able to exercise outside. You know, exercise is great, but I think any time is fine as long as it doesn't interfere with anything else. Yes, ma'am. Yeah?
Dealing with stress, back pain, burning children. Good and bad about that, better go on off to the soup first.
Okay. She's asking about chiropractors. Well, number one, if you just have stress, of course, what you want to do is get rid of the stress. That always helps. I always say if you can get rid of the underlying problem, that's better, but sometimes it's hard to do. A massage therapist is great. If you get a good massage therapist, that's really good. Chiropractic can be beneficial for you. What you want to avoid are chiropractors that will say it's going to take 6 months to get rid of this. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, most chiropractors who are good, you're going to see results very, very quickly, okay? Some of these are structural problems. If it's a structural problem, a chiropractor can help. An osteopathic doctor who does manipulation can help, but there's very few of those because they don't get paid very well. But there's nothing wrong with chiropractic. We actually have 3 chiropractors at our cancer center, and they work full-time with our patient, and they do a lot of good. And, you know, different chiropractors do different things, just like different doctors do different things. You know, some of them have the thumper, and some of them do the hands-on. They have all these different devices. It's just a matter of finding one that works with you, but you should have results very quickly. But I say that about any doctor, chiropractor, acupuncturist. You know, if you're not seeing results within, say, 6 or 7 treatments, you need to look for something else. You know, they should be able to tell you, you know, you should start seeing some relief, even with the laser. Most of our patients with the laser get relief. They'll feel something the first time. Now, a lot of people will take 4 or 5 times. But by 6 or 7 times, if they're not getting any better, they're not going to get any better. Yes, ma'am. Okay, what she's saying is she wants to know the 3 things that you should do to basically prevent lots of diseases or just stay healthy. The top two, I will tell you, is diet, a good diet, and exercise, and relaxation. Those three things. Now, let me tell you why I say that. And I'm going to go back to, because someone here gave me, wrote down, they want to know about genetics, especially in cancer. But I want to go beyond the cancer thing. You know, I mean, we have Angelina Jolie with her BRCA testing, and she's a really good, I mean, she's a brave person. But in actuality, if you have a tendency to have that hereditary cancer, you don't have to go as far as she did because there's different levels. So people who are concerned about family history, just get a good genetic counselor and they'll go through that with you. But there's a new field called epigenetics. Has anyone heard about epigenetics? It's a fascinating field. What it tells you is that your great-great-grandmother may pass something down to you besides her DNA. In other words, if your great-grandmother was an alcoholic, that can be actually passed down to you and you can be susceptible to being an alcoholic. The reason for that, because you have your DNA, but the environment will cause what are called methyl groups to attach to the DNA. And what we found out is that those methyl groups can be passed down from generation to generation. That's why some people wonder, you can even pass down depression from three generations ago because of those methyl groups. Now, what they found is that these methyl groups are associated with things in the environment, including stress, including diet, a lot of things in the environment put on those methyl groups, and those methyl groups change the way your genes express themselves. So, for example, you have two twins. You know, of course you have two twins. Twins are two. Okay, that makes sense. You have twins. One of them gets a disease, one of them doesn't get a disease. Well, what's the difference? Well, it's their lifestyle or something in the environment, but they have the same genes. It's just those genes are not being expressed. One of their genes is staying hidden away, but the other one is becoming active. And that's what these methyl groups do. They can actually activate it. The good thing is that you can reverse that. You can actually take away methyl groups, even if it's been passed from generations, and there's really three things that do that. A good diet, exercise, and meditation or relaxation. Those have been shown to really decrease the expression of genes that cause damage, like inflammation and things like that. There's a great study just came out. They did it on the brain that showed that relaxation or meditation will significantly decrease the expression of the bad genes in your body. So, you know, overall, those are the three things. If you can do that, and even meditating just 5 minutes a day will help that. And they've actually done studies, cell studies, that show that it affects the genes within 5 minutes of doing it. So those would be the three things I would recommend. Yes, ma'am.
Any guidelines or recommendations
on
how to choose
probiotics? Oh, man, that's, yeah, you know, there's been a lot about probiotics, by the way. There's something that just came out today about probiotics, too. They're really showing that probiotics are really, they were saying that probiotics can affect your personality. It can affect happiness, depression, and things like that, besides your weight. And there's lots of probiotics, you know. Now, you know, certainly there's foods that have probiotics in them, but those are the weaker ones. So I like other, and then there's probiotics that you have to put in the refrigerator and probiotics you don't have to put in the refrigerator. And they're all different species. It's a really difficult thing, and there's not enough studies that show this is the one you need and this is the one you need. For certain diseases, such as like C. diff infections that we see in a lot of cancer patients, there's a species called Saccharomyces that help that. I use one. I take a probiotic every day. It's just called Probiotic GI. It's made by Pure Encapsulations. But there's a lot of good companies that have great probiotics. But what you have to do is you just have to try some and see which one works the best for you. I've tried like three or four different ones, and they all are the same for me. But I've had people who, this hasn't worked, so they try a different one, and it works very well. Until the studies really are really geared up. And now that they're showing the probiotics being so important and the microbiome in your GI tract being so important, I think you're going to see incredible number of studies that are going to be coming out pretty soon. But, you know, just, you know, if other people take a probiotic and they've had good results, you know, try that one. It's just really hard to say this is the one that's going to work. No, not really. What you have to, you know, even Walmart and those places can have good probiotics. The thing is, you know, they make a certain number of, you know, billions of organisms, and depending on how they store them and ship them, you may not get all those. So that's the real problem. I hate to go through a refrigerator. I have a bunch of probiotics in my refrigerator that I've never used in a year. So I use one that has what's called FOS in it, fructooligosaccharides, which actually the organisms live on. You don't have to refrigerate it. So if you have something with FOS in it, you can take it, and those are just as good as the ones that are refrigerated. And those usually keep the number of organisms. So, but that's the danger, and there's no one here yet that can tell you this one's bad and this one's good. You really have to be a guinea pig, unfortunately. The what now?
Something like raw milk kefir.
Yeah, raw milk kefir.
Raw milk kefir would be more expensive. Do you think, I've read that could be like more robust probiotic because you've got all the enzymes in there.
You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. And I'll admit, I'm not a dietitian. We have some great nutritionists, you know, that would actually be able to answer that. I know enough to be dangerous on that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of products out there. And I tell people, go ahead and try them. You know, are you familiar with MLMs, multi-level marketing, you know, where they have all these products that they sell? They have like 6 levels of salespeople. And, you know, what's amazing about the MLM products are they're really good products. I mean, most of them are really good. They're really effective. The problem I have with them is that you're paying about 3 or 4 times more than you need to, because there's other products out there you can get that are exactly the same, much less expensive. Most of them, like Juice Plus, for example, Juice Plus has some great products, but you can just get a mixer and put in all your fruits, and it's a tenth of the cost and get exactly the same thing. And then there's these real rare fruits that you've never heard of from all over the world, and it has all these great antioxidants. And they do. It's true. What they're saying is true. But again, you can just get basic fruits and vegetables and ground them up in a mixer and get exactly what you're getting with those. So you just really don't have to spend that much money on them. But it's a matter of you being a guinea pig and either trying them yourself. And you'll know with a good probiotic, you'll know in a week if it's going to work. Sometimes 2 or 3 days, you'll notice the changes. Digestion, energy, hygiene, everything. I mean, it just you'll feel a difference. You'll know there's a difference. You know, 70% of our immune systems are in our GI tract. A lot of people don't know that. So probiotics work at that too. So it really helps a lot. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, the alkaline diet and cancer. You know, a lot of people swear by it. Our dietitians really have seen no absolute proof that that really works or doesn't work, because your body is such an amazing entity that balances your pH so well, and your stomach is so acid anyway, that really most of the nutritionists will tell you it really doesn't change your body that much. So it's more, they think it's more psychological than anything. But, you know, placebos are great. I like placebos. If you think something's going to work and it works, heck, take it, you know. But really there hasn't been any specific studies on the alkaline. And I have people coming to me all the time saying, use this and use this. It's something that we actually plan to study, to do a research project on, to see if it really makes a difference. But right now, I don't think there's enough evidence to say yay or nay. Food for cancer? Basically, yeah, fruits and vegetables. Decrease the amount of meat you eat to 6 ounces. at a time. You know, they supersize everything now. They give you a 12-ounce steak, and they reel you in by saying, well, for 2 more ounces, you only pay a couple bucks more, so you're going to get the big one. I usually order the biggest steak, and then I eat 6 ounces and take the rest home, and I get 2 or 3 meals out of it. And by the way, if you eat meat, you know, if you cook meat for a long time, it produces carcinogens. And the more meat you eat, the more carcinogens you get. But when you cook meat, if you eat it with onions or peppers, it actually negates the carcinogens because they're very potent antioxidants. And garlic is the same thing. Peppers, onions, and garlic. So whenever you grill food, meat, eat it and cook it with peppers, onions, or garlic, and it'll negate the effects. Yes, ma'am.
Is there any there's so many supplements that they have out on the counter. So if you buy, let me get some B12, let me get this, let me get that, and you have a whole combination, is there a possibility that with the multiples that you get, that it can cause some kind of interaction within? Asking is because a few years ago I was taking a variety of supplements, and all of a sudden I got an allergic reaction to peaches. And then
interesting.
Recently now I'm allergic to apples, and mind you, these are fruits that I ate all the time growing up. It's just something that came, and I was just wondering by me consuming so many different, because they have different
Yeah, and a lot of, and she's talking about taking supplements, and maybe if you take too many supplements, they can interact with other things and cause allergies. And certainly a lot of times it's the fillers in them that do that, because a lot of them will have fillers, even multivitamins. If you take a multivitamin, look in your stool. I know you don't like to do that, but if you see the capsule in the stool, it means it's not being absorbed because the filler doesn't break down. You can actually take a multivitamin and put it in a glass of water, a half a glass of vinegar. If it dissolves in a half an hour, it'll dissolve in your system. If it doesn't, you don't want to take it. But you can have interactions, and sometimes they're very difficult to figure out. If you want to, you should go to, anyone here go to naturopath? Do you guys know what naturopaths are? Naturopaths are doctors of naturopathy. If they're certified, they've gone to a 4-year program, just like medical school, and they've done an internship and residency. And those naturopaths are very, very smart. If you're certified and you're a naturopath, you will really know herbs and supplements and vitamins and be able to figure all this. And one of the best people you can go to is a naturopath for that reason. Because if you go to the internet or you hear this supplement and you hear all these promises, you have no idea if they're good or not good. And so there are so many supplements and herbs on the shelves that don't contain what's on the label or don't have the ingredients that they should have. It's amazing. Probably more than 60 or 70% really don't have in it what they say that's in it. And so unless you go for some really good companies and they're reliable, you have to be careful. But really, standing here, the best thing you can do here in Austin is look up a good naturopath. Now, so let me give you, I'm trying to think of, there's a naturopathic association, I can't remember, but just Google it. And there's an association that you can tell if someone is certified. And just look up naturopaths in Austin, but always check the
AANP, the American Association of Naturopathic Diseases.
Okay, AANP.org. Is it .org, Jake? Okay, it's probably .org. And by the way, one other website I want to give you is NCCAOM.org. That is the organization for certifying acupuncturists. NCCAOM.org. And all of these, including the laser website, the naturopathic website, the acupuncture website, You can go to those and it'll say find a practitioner, and you check on it and put in your zip code, and they'll tell you everyone who's certified. You can have a naturopath who just puts out a shingle and she's, you know, just red, or he's red, you know, for a weekend or gone to a weekend course. You don't want those. You want people who have gone for 4 years, gone through the whole symptom. Yes.
And I'm interviewing allopathic and osteopathic medical.
Right.
And I'm interested to see what you think the major difference is between MD and DO, what the benefits of each are, and
But that's good. She's talking about the difference between a DO and an MD, a doctor of osteopath and a medical doctor, and actually that difference has really closed up. In general, an osteopath is going to be more hands-on. They're going to look for more options than an MD. They're taught more to keep their mind open. That being said, most of the DOs that are out there, a lot of them just become just like MDs, and they're just focused on conventional medicine. You know, osteopathic manipulation is amazing. I mean, for neck and back problems, they are just fabulous. But you may only be able to find one in a large city because they don't pay very well. And most of the DOs just go into regular conventional medicine. I like both of them. I work probably two-thirds. Is it two-thirds? How many people, DOs at Cancer Treatment Center? We have at least half of our doctors are DOs at Cancer Treatment Center, and they're great. I mean, I'm very impressed, and there's lots of MDs, and we work together. And they have perspectives that we didn't learn. We have perspectives they didn't learn. It works out really well. But either way you go, you know, sometimes you can't get into medical school. If you go to an osteopathic school, you're going to learn just as much. So, yes, ma'am. Cooked. Yeah, I mean, you can do it uncooked, too, if you like the uncooked stuff. Either way, you know, when you cook garlic and peppers, you think you're cooking out all the good ingredients, but in actuality, you're not. In fact, sometimes you potentiate them. So what I'm told by the dietitians is that it doesn't matter which way, but if you just eat it. I love fajitas for that reason, is because I'll take a fajita with all the peppers and onions, and I know I can eat that meat, and I'm neutralized in the carcinogen. That's why I like fajita so much. I'm sorry?
Said cooking for a long time creates the carcinogens. Do you mean like in a slow cooker as well, or you have it grilled?
Well, it's mainly rare to. I mean, if you get medium and above, you're going to have more carcinogens. Yeah. No. But you know, the more you cook it, the more carcinogens you're, and the more total that you eat, the more carcinogens that you have. Yes, ma'am. Do what now? Okay. Sure. Hashimoto's. I love Hashimoto's. Yeah. And by the way, I'm sorry I'm having hearing, but I have both hearing loss and selective hearing loss, so you'll just have to bear with me. You know, all men have selective hearing loss. We're born with it. So, she's talking about Hashimoto's thyroiditis, the major cause of being hypothyroid. And by the way, about 20% of women are subclinically hypothyroid. And I will tell you, doctors will do thyroid test galore, and they will never find anything in most of those people. But you have the symptoms. You have the energy, the hair, you know, poor energy, hair loss. You may gain weight. You just feel bad. And then they'll do the thyroid test, and they'll say, oh, you don't have anything. There's a test that you can ask called the reverse T3. What happens is T4... is the main thyroid hormone. It breaks into T3. T3 is the active hormone. A lot of times, because of the environment or something going on, the T4 doesn't break down to T3, and instead it goes to reverse T3. So if your reverse T3 is high, it means you're subclinically hypothyroid. Now, Hashimoto's is an autoimmune disease that occurs in lots of women that eventually will destroy your thyroid and make you hypothyroid. In the meantime, it's inflammation. So you can have a lot of problems with it. There are some conventional drugs for it, but in actuality, I would actually, the laser would be beneficial for it, and actually acupuncture might help as well. Yeah, you would put it right on the thyroid. Yeah. Well, it decreases the inflammation that the Hashimoto's occurs. Yes, ma'am.
What happens if you have the Hashimoto's autoimmune disease and you have your thyroid taken out because you have it? Then can that autoimmune disease attack other organs?
No. Hashimoto's is particular for thyroid tissue. So if you get a thyroidectomy, it's gone. You won't have to worry about it. Well, autoimmune diseases, you know, and of course women are much more likely to have autoimmune diseases. It's interesting because women have stronger immune systems than men do, but they're more likely to get autoimmune diseases too because their immune systems are too strong and they overdo it. It's very, you know, I think there are things that you can take like probiotics and stuff like that that may help. I think acupuncture is great. I've used acupuncture for lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. I think that's good. And there's a lot of dietary stuff that's really good for autoimmune diseases. And you have to be a little bit careful of what you're getting to see. Because if you have an autoimmune disease and you stimulate the immune system, then it can get worse. What you want to do is balance the system. That's why acupuncture is good for that. But a good naturopath will know what to do. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's huge. Yeah, gluten sensitivity is very common. We're seeing lots more. And I don't know if it's just because... You know, they're associating gluten sensitivity with lots of different things. Okay. I think there's a lot of basis for that. And a lot of people say once they get off gluten, they feel great. And a lot of these diseases clear up. So I think there is a connection. And all you can do, though, is just get off gluten. If you're off gluten for 2 or 3 weeks and you see the difference, you know that's there. Yes, ma'am.
I have a sister who's a type 2 diabetic, and
she's a pre-diabetic?
No, like type
1. Oh, type 1 diabetic, okay.
And she was just diagnosed with a heart disease called thick heart. It's got a vein that's long, but
okay.
Abbreviation is thick heart.
Uh-huh.
Her heart muscles are thick.
Right. Wow, you know, of course, type 1 diabetes can be hereditary. So there is a chance that they can come down there. Does she take any herbs or anything? This one, she has a type 1 diabetes, which means she does not make any insulin. She has what's called sick heart syndrome, which means the muscles, but even the muscles in your body can deteriorate with diabetes too. But there's some really good herbs that she can take, like CoQ10 and L-carnitine, that will strengthen the muscles of her heart.
She has a problem with her heart muscle that's getting thicker and thicker.
Yeah.
So she's had 5
And it's probably very unlikely. Now, I'm not a genetic counselor. We have one that is great and could tell you that, but I haven't really seen that occur. And it's very rare to see that in diabetics anyway, so the chances of you guys getting it is probably pretty rare. Yes, ma'am.
I'm just going back to the diet. What is your best recommendation for someone that suffers from stress eating?
Stress eating?
Yeah.
Is to get de-stressed. Anyone can get de-stressed. I really believe that. Even if you just relax for 5 minutes, you know, it's really not that hard to do. People can't believe, because you do things that take more than 5 minutes every day. I mean, brushing your teeth, you know, doing things, you know, just you have routines that you have, but that will really help de-stressing you. Obviously, you know, sometimes you can't de-stress. And of course, that causes you to eat a lot. There are some, actually, you could even try hypnotism. I have a certification in hypnosis. I don't do it very much anymore, but I used to do that, and it works really well to kind of break that cycle. Cognitive behavioral therapy, if you 2 or 3 sessions with someone who does cognitive behavior, can break that cycle. But yeah, you have to break that cycle. If you don't break that cycle, it's tough. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question about seasonal allergies.
Seasonal allergies?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Acupuncture. Acupuncture is amazing for allergies. I'll tell you a great story. I had a guy come in, it's about 15 years ago. He is a semi-pro golfer. He came to me in August, ragweed season, and he was allergic to grass. You know, you can't be a golfer if you're allergic to grass, because they walk the course. And by the ninth hole, he couldn't breathe at all, and he had loss of energy. So he came in to me, and I did about 6 acupuncture treatments on him, totally got rid of the symptoms. He came back the next year, about 50% had come back. So I did another 5 acupuncture treatments, got rid of it. Then another 3 years went by. He came back in. He wouldn't have any symptoms, but he just wanted to make sure because he's going into his season. And 15 years later, he never had another problem. Now, some people with seasonal allergies, you have to do an acupuncture every now and then. But it is, I have noticed it to be just amazing for allergies. It works wonderfully for allergies. Now, if you have food allergies, there's something called the Nambudra Pad Allergy Elimination Treatment. Anyone ever hear of that? Called NAET. You can look it up on the internet. It's called NAET.com. Nambudra Pad is a naturopath chiropractor out in California who developed a method of getting rid of food allergies. And I mean, we're talking about shellfish. We're talking about even gluten stuff, lactose. It works very well. And there's probably, you can look on her website, and there may be someone right here in Austin that does that. NAET.com. And you can find, I mean, it'll come up when you Google it. Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. So they opened them up. Yeah, occasionally surgery will help that. But you know, if people have recurrent sinusitis, antibiotics don't help at all, but doctors give lots of people antibiotics for that. It never works. If your sinuses are abnormal, surgery will help. If they're not, I do acupuncture. Yes, ma'am. I'll get you in a second. I see you out of the corner of my eye. So.
I went to
that ENT. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. They come out with a motorized sinus wash, kind of like
the neti pot. Whatever. It's like a neti pot.
Right.
Yeah.
So nonetheless, I use that every day. Uh-huh. And I don't have any problems because there's not any residual.
Yeah, it works very, very well. The neti pot works very good for seasonal allergies too, and it's a saline that you squirt in there. So that's a really easy way to do that.
It's the best $25 I've ever spent.
Yeah. Yeah, all those. There's some very simple ways to do that. Yeah, that's one. I just use the, you know, I tell people use the neti pot. They do really well, but that's good too. Let me get her first.
Can you talk a little bit about herbs or supplements that are good for metabolism, boosting metabolism?
Well, okay. Foods and supplements that boost your metabolism? That's a good question. You know, because you don't want anything artificial to really boost your metabolism. You really need to find out why your metabolism is not doing well, because there may be some other things going on. You need to check your thyroid function, maybe even your adrenal function. A lot of women have burned out adrenal glands because you can be stressed out, and that really gets your adrenal glands. And again, a good naturopath would be really important for that. So I don't know offhand anything that... Really, there is a Chinese herbal formula called Yuguiwan. There's a company called Health Concerns. You can go to healthconcerns.com, and actually you can talk to their herbalist, just email them. But they make a product called Astra Essence, and that's Yuguiwan, which is a 3,000-year-old formula that gives you incredible energy. Within like 1 or 2 days, you take the stuff, and it just... You have lots of energy. That's what it's designed to do. It's for fatigue. So it will give you a lot of energy. And for you women who have thin hair, it also thickens your hair. So, you know, there's like a dual thing that it's a real good product. And that company sells some of their Chinese herbs. The ones that are safe, that don't have any side effects, they will actually sell. And what you do is just email their herbalist, and they will get back with you and say, you need this and this and this. So it's a company called Health Concerns. It's one where healthconcerns.com, and it's called Astra Essence. Now, they may call it something different on their website. I can't remember, but if you write their herbalist and said, Dr. A said, get Astra Essence, what do you have? They have a product that they'll send you. And I mean, it's just, the thing about Chinese herbs are they're combinations of about, I think this has like 10 or 12 herbs. So you have to take a lot of them. You take like 9 of them a day initially, and then you cut down. But they get in your system, and then they really change your metabolism. So that probably will be the best one for you. Yes, ma'am. Oh, red yeast rice?
Yes.
Red yeast rice is actually the same thing as Mevacor, which is a statin drug. The problem with red yeast rice is you have to take like 4 pills a day, and it's not paid for by insurance. And I just tell people, if the Mevacor is covered, take the Mevacor. It's the same thing. But if you want to take red yeast rice, it's great. I take fish oil, but if you ever take fish oil, take at least 1,500 milligrams. There's a, you know, I'm going to tell people, here's one of the other secrets that you might not know. 92% of all the medical research in this country does absolutely nothing. It does not help anybody, 92%. So you have to be really, really careful with what you get. And on alternative medicine, it's even worse. I read study after study saying fish oil does not help this, it does not help this, it does not help this. And every one of them use 1,000 milligrams, which won't do anything. You have to at least start with 1,500 milligrams. Well, I was just, you knew what I was going
to
say, didn't you?
I'll take that.
Krill oil is great. K-R-I-L-L. It's made from krill that the whales eat. And I take krill oil myself because krill oil is very potent. 500 milligrams of krill oil is about 1,500 milligrams of fish oil. And I take that too because you don't get the fish. You don't smell like a fish, which is always good, especially if you want to be around people. So, but krill oil, K-R-I-L-L, and actually Health Concerns puts out a krill oil. It's called EPAC, E-P-A-Q. But there's a lot of krill oils around. It's made from the same company called Neptune, and they distribute it to lots of companies. You know, essential oils are kind of interesting. Essential oils can be very beneficial if you know someone who really knows essential oils and knows how to use them. I know a massage therapist who uses it and gets great results. You can use, if you have trouble sleeping, you can use jasmine essential oil or jasmine potpourri, and it will help you go to sleep at night. Just put it by your bedside. It's real good for that too. Yeah, of course. But it's really good for you. Yes, ma'am. It's a 500 milligrams per capsule. You just take one capsule. That's the equivalent of about 1,500 milligrams. And actually, when I started taking it, my cholesterol was 300 and it dropped to 150 just from taking krill oil once a day, which was amazing to me. So, yes, ma'am. Do what now? Well, krill oil is fish oil. It's just a different type of fish oil. So I just take one of those rather than a 1,500 mil. Because a lot of times the fish oil comes, you have to take 3 capsules. And me, I just want to take one capsule. No, it's all made by Neptune. There's only one company. But some companies will add some stuff to it that make it better. Like I say, yeah, and I'm not familiar with that. I know the Health Concerns. I know Pure Encapsulations has a real good krill. That's the one I use. You had a question?
What's your opinion about cleanses, like colon cleanses, kidney?
Colon cleanses. Yeah. You know, I actually think that those are not bad for you. You know, there's really never been any studies that show anything about it. So it's really more folklore and stuff like that. I don't have a problem with it. I just never see any studies that show that it's really beneficial or not beneficial. One of my daughters does a liver cleanse and a colon cleanse. She thinks it works. You know, and it's another thing that you have to be a guinea pig. As long as it doesn't hurt, you can try it out and see if it makes you feel better. If it does, great. If it doesn't, you just don't do it again. You know, so more. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it's actually supposed to shrink the fat inside you or actually dissolve the fat.
Yeah, he said it dissolves whatever's there, but his biggest thing was that the doctor said that the cold laser underneath the skin over, I guess, 3 months to 6 months regenerates the collagen.
Yeah, it does.
Is that the same cold laser?
I think it's the same concept. It's a different laser. And by the way, I know it's 4 o'clock, but they told me that there's no one here after me. If you guys leave, that's okay, but if you want, I'm going to be staying here until I've answered every question. So but if you leave, if you need to leave, that's okay too. You're just going to miss out on all the other secrets that we talked about. Okay, yeah, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty now. Okay. To lose weight. Well, again, it's one of those things that if they work for you, great. I don't think there's any studies that show that, you know, if you did a real study, it probably wouldn't show anything, but if it works for you, great. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah, you know, with the Affordable Care Act, there's supposed to be more transparency. Whether that actually happens or not, going to be really hard. I mean, I would love to see that occur. I don't know what kind of glitches we're going to have with that. But that's the only way. Right now, only you can maybe get that information 15% of the time. Comparing cost to cost, it is really tough. You just have to actually get on the phone and call different facilities. The other problem is, you know, a lot of doctors now own facilities that have MRIs and have surgery, and the studies show that they send twice as many people to those because they own it. But if you call around and find out, you know, if you say you need a procedure and you can call around to other facilities, they'll give you discounts and stuff like that, so you just have to do that. But hopefully with the Affordable Care Act, I think one of the good things about it is that hopefully the transparency will come to, you know, come to fruition. But, you know, I have my doubts that that's going to happen. Right now, you just have to do the work. I hate to say that. There's no easy place that's going to tell. And the cost, it's amazing. I mean, like a hip replacement can cost $13,000 in one place and $80,000 in another place. And even in the same city, in two different hospitals, you may have $50,000 different. It just bizarre, but you know, hopefully something can happen like that. Yes, ma'am.
When I came in, you were talking about cold laser and a particular model.
Oh yeah, it's called the Microlight 830. Microlight, LIGHT, ML830. That's where the website is, ML830.com. It's really good. And you can read all the stuff on the website. They have me on the website. I've actually done an interview with them. So, you know. What? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, if you just go to the website, you can find a practitioner. Yes, ma'am. Well, yes and no. Yeah, I think she already left, though, unfortunately. But you have to be a little bit careful about insurance companies. A lot of times now, the insurance companies are trying to say, you don't want to go there because they cost too much. You need to go here, and what you do is get lower quality care at the other place because they want to save money, so you have to be real careful.
I'm talking about, like, if you're going to get an MRI,
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to get an MRI, they're all the same. So,
my question is,
yeah. Yes. Because heart disease is very common in women who have radiation to the breast, especially if they have the left breast.
I didn't do the left.
Okay. If you've done the right breast, you don't have as big a risk. Okay. It can affect your blood vessels. It can cause hardening of the arteries. And so you just need to have that followed. And that's a great question, because most survivors of cancer, they don't look at the other diseases, and yet they're more likely to die of other diseases besides their cancer. So basically, it's just good to get a heart checkup, just to check it routinely. You can also take stuff. Fish oil can protect against that. Baby aspirin is great. Baby aspirin has also been shown in breast cancer to decrease recurrence and decrease metastases. That's been shown in prostate and colon cancer. So I think a baby aspirin is really good for you, because it decreases inflammation, which they think is one of the main causes for cancer.
If I have hardening of the arteries from that radiation,
that
really isn't.
Well, there's treatment for it. I mean, you can live a normal life. You just have to, you know, if it gets hard, and they may have to put a stent in there. But yeah, the blood vessels. But they can put stents in even those blood vessels. But fish oil should prevent a lot of that stiffness. Either one, fish oil or krill oil, will help. Yes, ma'am.
Can you correct me, doctor? If you take krill oil, you don't take fish oil, right?
It's
one or the other.
Yeah, I have people who take both of them, but you don't have to. Krill oil is more potent, that's right. So you take less pills. I do. That's why I take it for my cholesterol rather than regular fish oil. But we have, you know, at the cancer center, we give lots of just regular fish oil, which is good too. So, yeah. Yes, ma'am. You know, I've heard of hibiscus extract. I don't know a lot about it. It's kind of new. I would have to ask. Yeah, I don't think the studies are there yet. You know, I think the aspirin has been shown. Statin drugs for cholesterol have been shown also to minimize recurrence as well. Those are the two things we know. Now, there are some other medications that can fight tumors. High-dose melatonin can do that. If you're diabetic, if you take metformin, it has anti-cancer stuff. Curcumin, which is in curry, is really good for that. Even fish oil has been shown to be beneficial. So there's a lot of different things you can take to help prevent cancer, or if you have cancer, prevent or slow down its growth. So it's okay. It's okay. Red yeast rice. Yeah, red yeast rice basically has the same ingredients as Mevacor, which is a conventional drug, a conventional statin drug for cholesterol. So you can take red yeast rice. A lot of people do that, but you have to take four of them to one Mevacor. So, you know, if you don't have any insurance, you can do that because it's the same price. But if you have insurance, it's better to take Mevacor. It's the same stuff, but it's cheaper for you.
And it's natural?
Mevacor is not natural, but still it's effective. I actually take both of them, but I take statin drugs because I have a pre-prostate cancer condition, so I take that. The statin drug can help prevent that, so I take that, but I also take the fish oil. I like to be doubly safe, but that's just me. You don't really have to do both of them, but I do. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any recommendations for psoriasis?
Psoriasis? There are, actually, there's a... Well, what was it? There's a dermatologist across the street from us at our cancer center that actually has the statin drug can help prevent that. So I take that, but I also take the fish oil. I like to be doubly safe, but that's just me. You don't really have to do both of them, but I do. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any recommendations for psoriasis?
Psoriasis? There's well, what was it? There's a dermatologist across the street from us at our cancer center that actually has a product. I'm trying to remember what it was. It may be zinc. Hey, no, it's not zinc. What is it? It's, you know, I don't know offhand. I'm sorry. But if you get in contact with us, ask one of these lovely ladies here and email them, and I'll find out for you what it is. Actually, I also found, and I can give it to you, there's a company in Seattle that makes this oil, this herbal oil, that they've shown about 50% of people with psoriasis gets rid of their psoriasis. Now, that's just anecdotal. I don't know if it works. I've actually tried some. It seems to work. I have a little bit of psoriasis myself. It seems to work fairly well as steroids do. So, but, you know, email them and they'll get to me and then I'll send that to you. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any recommendations for migraines?
Yes, I do. Acupuncture. Acupuncture is wonderful for migraines. Now, I will tell you, in Chinese medicine, there are four different syndromes that can cause migraines. So a good acupuncturist will look at your tongue and take your pulse to see which syndrome you have. But when I was doing acupuncture full time, I could get a migraine headache and get rid of it in 15 minutes. And then every time I did acupuncture, it got fewer and fewer, more infrequent as it went along, and eventually just went away. So I had great results with getting rid of migraines long-term using acupuncture. That's the only thing I've ever used for, and it works amazingly well. Yes, there are actually, in my clinic in Oklahoma City, I had two acupuncturists. We did 12 different forms of acupuncture. So yes, they are different. Now, if they're certified, most of them will know three or four different types, and most of them will have to keep up their accreditation, so they'll go to different courses and learn different things. But true, if you go to an acupuncturist and they're not helping you, you might try a different acupuncturist, and they may be able to help you. Just, you know, because there are lots of different types of acupuncture. There's even ear acupuncture, which works pretty well. Oh, thank you. That's what I'm here for. If you're pre-prostate, I recommend aspirin, baby aspirin a day. Or if you have a higher risk of colon cancer, or if you have breast cancer, a baby aspirin is really preventative. Yes, ma'am. It can thin your blood, but not to the extent that you're going to bleed. Well, if you have von Willebrand's, yeah, you have to be real careful. But a lot of times, it's just not that potent. You know what also thins your blood? Chocolate. Yeah, and they actually recommend, if you ever fly overseas or more than 4 hours, get a bar of dark chocolate, and it'll help thin your blood and prevent blood clots. There's two things I recommend very highly. It's a glass of red wine or white wine and dark chocolate. That's why my patients really like coming in to see me. or during a long flight, it actually thins your blood, prevents blood clots. It actually was a study that came out about 15 years ago, but it stuck right here because I love chocolate.
Okay, I have a question, not about fish oil or anything, but
you can ask anything you want. Yeah.
And it's more like, let's try an antibiotic, let's do this, let's do this.
That's not good.
So how would one, myself,
yeah,
then kind of take control of that situation, because kind of in your heart of hearts you know what really you're dealing with. Not that I've been internet happy, I just know. How do you sort of take control of these guys and say, okay, you know, you've done the antibiotics,
Well, basically, you slap them on the face. And I'm not kidding. I mean, you know, doctors, sometimes they're so... I'm the intake, oncology intake doctor at Cancer Treatment Center. I see all the new patients. I look at all their histories. And you'd be amazed at what doctors do. I mean, it makes no sense at all. And fortunately, what you're talking about is being empowered to take care of your health and take control. Sometimes your doctor is not going to do that. You know, and I just tell people, you need to just sit down with your doctor and say, look, I'm worried about this. I need it taken care of. You know, we need to do something about it. Now, we have... Yeah, and you get a delay. Absolutely untrue. And I'll tell you that there's an uptick in breast cancers in young people under the age of 39, from 25 to 39. There's an uptick. They're seeing a huge increase in that. You know, the task force says don't do self-exams and don't screen till 50. That's absolute BS. You know, we're going to have lots of problems with that. So you just have to say, you know, if you're concerned, have you had a mammogram?
I did. I had one 3 years ago.
Yeah. Ooh, if it's different, it needs to be looked at. It may need to be biopsied. What I would suggest is tell your doctor you need an MRI scan of your breast. Yeah, that's the next step, because the MRI will delineate that. And if you need any help, you can call us at, you know, we have, do you know the toll-free number by it?
I got a card. I went and
got all the time. Okay, good. Because our reps, our OIS reps, they are extremely knowledgeable. They can tell you exactly what you need to do. Yeah. You need to throw all that out. We are seeing so many different things. I mean, a couple months ago, I saw a 27-year-old and two 28-year-old women with breast cancer. You know, and their doctor said, oh, you couldn't have breast cancer. And all three of them had proven breast cancer. So, you know, the point is, it's your health, it's your body. You really need to insist on that stuff.
Okay.
And any way we can help, we'd be happy to help.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry? We're in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but actually we'll actually pay for your flight to come up if you need us to.
But Dr., what would you advise for someone that's adopted and doesn't have any family history whatsoever?
You can't do anything. You just have to just to watch your health and, you know, yeah.
Like, as a preventative thing, you know how they say, at this age, check this.
And you need to do that.
But it'd be a male, my husband.
Okay.
He doesn't know anything about
your husband, absolutely, how old is he?
He's
going to
be 49.
Yeah, at age 50, he needs a colonoscopy.
For sure.
He needs his prostate checked with a PSA level. Those are the two main things that I would do, but... And probably, you know, get an EKG just to make sure his heart's in good shape. He could get what's called a coronary calcium, which is a scan. It costs about $100. Now, insurance doesn't pay for it, but it tells you pretty accurately if you have atherosclerosis in your heart. So that's a really good one.
Okay, I appreciate that.
You bet.
Yeah,
oh my God.
EKG, coronary
calcium
scan.
Yeah. Yeah, he needs to go. Yeah, he can have a prostate exam and a PSA level, and then definitely a colonoscopy, at least at age 50. You'd be surprised how many men I've seen who are age 50, 51 that have colon cancer. And, I mean, it's amazing. You see, and we're seeing it younger and younger and younger. It's not good. And that's why we have so much business at cancer treatment centers. You bet. Anything else? I think I scared everyone away, huh?
But what about, like, for memory loss or...
Ginkgo biloba, the studies are mixed with ginkgo. I think it's good, but you have to take enough of it, like 240 milligrams.
I get interferon.
Oh, yeah, interferon will really...
Yeah, memory loss, and I'm starting to
You're getting older. Actually, ginkgo may be helpful. There's another herb called huperzine A that may help. And actually, you know, if an acupuncturist knows how to do it, you can do ear acupuncture, auricular acupuncture if they do it. And right in the lobe of your ear, there are a bunch of brain points, and there's a memory point in there. And I've actually stimulated that point and helped people with their memory. It's really kind of neat. Now, if you really want to go far out, you can do a ketogenic diet or the Paleolithic diet, which is a really tough diet to follow. But we're actually studying that for brain tumors because it's supposed to shrink brain tumors. And we also think it will help you know, brain dysfunction and chemo brain and things like that. So it's going to be kind of interesting. Okay. Well, you're welcome. Cinnamon's great. You know, they use a lot more for diabetes, and the studies are kind of mixed, but I like cinnamon, so.
Okay, and then speaking of cinnamon, that eat right for your blood type.
Right. Actually, that has some basis to it, too. Some people do really well. Some people don't do well at all, so. All right. Well, thanks for coming, ladies.